Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Mary DeTouris-Post. Mary is an author, columnist, journalist, and blogger who has written for dozens of Catholic and secular publications over the last 25 years. She is the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Catholic Catechism and Parenting a Grieving Child. She also served as a senior correspondent and contributing editor for Our Sunday Visitor newspaper for over 14 years and is currently a daily contributor to Our Sunday Visitor's popular blog, OSV Daily Take. We're going inside the pages of Walking Together, Discovering the Catholic Tradition of Spiritual Friendship with Mary DeTouris-Post, published by Ave Maria Press. Welcome, Mary.
Good morning.
Walking Together, Discovering the Catholic Tradition of Spiritual Friendship is, I think, a really important book for our times because, as you point out in the book, there seems to be a real relationship disconnect in today's world.
There is. You know, we can see it with things like social networking, like Facebook, where we can have hundreds, sometimes even thousands of friends, people some of whom we've never even met, and yet we often feel isolated or lonely or disconnected from people because we never really get below that surface level of, you know, posting a status update or a quick email. And spiritual friendship really is about that hunger that we have to connect with somebody, especially if we're, if we're trying to move forward in our spiritual life, trying to get closer to God. We need people. We need companions who kind of walk with us on that journey. So this topic was really, it really ended up becoming really important to me because for that very reason, I want that need to feel connected to other people on the spiritual journey.
I think it's essential as well, your book on spiritual friendship, because in today's world, I'm not even sure we know how to nurture good friendships, let alone a spiritual friendship, what that means in our life.
It's true. You know, we're kind of used to just waving to maybe the neighbors at the end of the driveway as we drive into a garage and put the door down behind us, or, maybe seeing the parents of kids we know on the soccer field as we're sitting there on a Saturday. And spiritual friendship really does require communication in a really serious kind of heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul way that we're not used to. We're used to sort of staying a little bit above some of that, you know, staying on the surface and kind of avoiding the things that make us feel vulnerable or kind of put us out there. And so there is that need to sort of become aware of those people in our lives that we do sense there's a connection that kind of goes a little deeper. We maybe end up talking about our prayer life, or we end up talking about a spiritual book or a scripture study group, and we sense that there is that sort of companionship there that we could build on. But then we have to go to that next step, which is to actively try to communicate with each other in a way that goes deeper than just saying how are you and asking about what's going on with the family and work. And that takes, you know, that takes a little effort. So it's not just an easy thing that comes and goes and you don't have to work at. You kind of have to work at it a little bit.
Well, I think work is a very important term because it's not always going to be easy, is it?
No, and it's not also, you know, spiritual friendship isn't about how we're just going to go through and never have any disagreements and never have any issues that where we find ourselves maybe butting heads a little bit or, you know, spiritual friendship is about being honest with each other, helping each other along the path. And maybe sometimes, of course, that's going to be giving your advice to someone where you think they might not be going in the right direction at some point. But being very honest, being vulnerable, and sort of moving forward together. And it does take work. St. Francis de Sales, who really wrote very extensively about spiritual friendship, he talks about this being almost what he called a dangerous affection, and that it requires so much more, even than sort of a first blush romance, you know, where that can just be sort of a come and go kind of warm feelings toward each other. But spiritual friendship has to go deeper, and it has to involve really serious communication where we're talking to each other or writing to each other. You know, it's a bit of a lost art form these days, but mm-hmm. writing to each other even about some of our spiritual struggles, about what we're hoping for, what we're trying to do with our spiritual lives, and really looking to each other to kind of pull us along. And it's a kind of a mutual benefiting sort of thing. It's not one person doing all the giving and one person all the taking. It's supposed to be the friends giving back and forth to each other.
It's very much a gift from God, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I know when I started writing this book, and it was something that really I was inspired to write after reading St. Francis de Sales, who, again, wrote in the 17th century, but to me feels very relevant to our world today. It sort of inspired me to look a little deeper on this topic. And at the time, I thought I had, you know, a few spiritual friendships that really stood out. And they do. They stand out above maybe any other spiritual friendships in my life. But doing the research for this made me realize sort of how much, how many blessings of sort of spiritual friendships even existed sort of on the periphery. Those friends who kind of come into your life at the right moment and are there to walk with you. You know, sometimes we don't even recognize them until, you know, in hindsight, then we realize that this person came into our life at just the right moment. So it really is a gift. And if you get somebody who is a true, deep spiritual friend who, you know, will walk with you for the rest of your life, and you know, we consider spiritual friendship eternal, that you're eternally connected to each other, that is really, it's really something that I think our society doesn't even recognize in a way, because it's just so foreign to the way we think.
It's God's very nature, isn't it, is relationship. I mean, we are created in His image, and His image is one of a relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He created us. He did not want to be alone. He creates us and gives and gives. And that, in that nature, is how we are designed and how we are meant to associate with others.
It is, and I talk in the book about that idea of our first friendship being with God, that, you know, as you said, God creates us in His image, and He is sort of always there waiting for us to come to Him, that He's sort of longing for us, and we're usually longing for Him, although sometimes it takes us a little longer to get to Him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, He's there wanting that connection with us, and our first friendship really needs to be with God, and then the others kind of flow from that. And so I talk a lot about that almost, and it's, in some ways it can be hard to imagine, that seeing the Trinity, too, as perfect friendship, the Father, Son, and Spirit existing in this perfect spiritual friendship, really, where the three beings in one never sort of take away from the other. They complement each other. They work together. It's all one. And so looking to the Trinity almost as the model of what friendship should be, this perfect relationship that is just all centered around God and existing sort of in this very complementary way that one builds on the other. And then, of course, we see in Jesus a similar thing. We see, you know, Jesus says, I call you friends. And we see Jesus' own life. We see the spiritual friendships in His life. We maybe don't think of them at first because we think of the apostles and we just think of the followers that we read in Scripture. But if we stop and think a minute, we can recognize those spiritual friendships that did stand out, the ones that come up again and again, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, or the disciple whom He loved, or Mary Magdalene, or Peter, who I especially love because Peter is the reminder that even when really difficult things happen in a relationship, a spiritual friendship, it's not broken the way a typical friendship might be, because the bond goes deeper. And Peter shows us that. We see his doubt, we see his confusion, and yet in the end, he is one of Jesus' spiritual friends, and nothing can really break that because they've got that bond that they're held together by God.
Beautiful point. Beautiful point. Because I think, it again, we need to remember that sometimes it's not always going to be easy. There are going to be bumps, and because the world is challenging, things will come in, and it's about sticking to it, leaving doors open, I think, sometimes.
It is. I definitely think that we have to kind of approach it in that way of knowing that it's not going to just be we sort of walk through life with, you know, no problems and kind of this perfect relationship where nothing ever goes wrong. I think that, you know, inevitably we're human, and so there will be times where there are difficult times, or we might be going through a struggle of our own, and so maybe we're turning to our spiritual friend almost in a challenging way, where we're saying, okay, I'm having this difficult time, I'm going through this time of confusion, or I'm going through this dark place, and you're almost challenging the friend to, okay, what do you think? What do you believe? And you're looking to the friend to sort of pull you out of that. So there will be times, and then you do that back for the friend. So I think there are definitely going to be times in our lives where, and that's, you know, what you said about us not maybe thinking it's hard work or thinking it's going to be easy. And I think that's part of our society's view, you know, that if it doesn't work out, we can just get rid of it and start over again, kind of that disposable idea. And spiritual friendship is the exact opposite of that, which is the idea that it is forever, it's eternal, and that we just continue to work through it, and that we are willing to be honest, and we're willing to be vulnerable, and we're willing to communicate again and again in this effort to grow together. And it's really exactly, I think, what some of us need in this world today, where we kind of feel so disconnected from everybody.
Now for an Inside the Pages excerpt from Walking Together by Mary de Torres-Paust. Pay it forward. When it comes to a virtue-centered spiritual friendship, nothing is as critical as humility. This is not about false humility, about building up another person just to make him feel good or to make ourselves feel magnanimous. This is about true humility. But what is true humility? St. Francis de Sales, in Introduction to the Devout Life, explains it like this. Humility drives Satan away and cherishes the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit within us. And for that reason, all the saints, and especially the King of Saints and His Blessed Mother, have always esteemed the grace of humility above all other virtues. Francis went on to say that exterior humility is when men and women put aside the vainglory of the world, that temptation to hold themselves in high esteem and pride themselves on the way they look, or the job they hold, or the clothes they wear. Interior humility, on the other hand, is a recognition of the great gifts God has given us and of our utter dependence on Him. When we bring this kind of humility into our relationships, we can elevate friendship to spiritual friendship. So we start with humility, which does not mean we cast our eyes downward and act as if we're lower than others. It means we put the needs of our spiritual friends first. We recognize that all we have comes from God and that we would be nothing without God. This foundation of God-centered self-understanding leads naturally then to the other key virtues of spiritual friendship: honesty, patience, kindness, empathy, charity. These are the things that distinguish spiritual friendships from what Francis de Sales called false or frivolous friendships that are grounded in worldly things. St. Francis de Sales was careful to point out the dangers of false friendships, and some of those should be noted at this point, because if a friendship isn't virtuous, it could be more harmful than good. Anything that is founded on sensuality, vanity, or frivolity is not worthy of the name friendship, he said, adding that relationships based on good looks, fancy clothes, idle gossip, or cleverness will not last, melting away like snow wreaths in the sun. Spiritual friendships know each other, love each other, understand each other in a very special way. Their connections lead to great things in their prayer lives, in their practical lives, in the things they do for their families, friends, and community. Like Francis and Claire, spiritual friends can inspire one another to spiritual greatness, all grounded in humility, of course. They can coax each other along the spiritual path, nudge each other to face a spiritual challenge that may seem daunting, and shore each other up when one or the other is struggling, or maybe even veering off course. Spiritual friendship, in short, starts with God, grows in God, and ultimately finds its fulfillment in God. We're talking with Mary de Torres-Paust on her book, Walking Together, Discovering the Catholic Tradition of Spiritual Friendship. And Mary, this is not only a book that lifts up the value of spiritual friendship, but it also helps us to nurture those friendships, to recognize the different facets of the friendship and to appreciate that. And I think that's what each chapter of the book is so uniquely designed and serves that purpose so well.
Well, thank you. And I was hoping to try and show lots of different sides of spiritual friendship, because you know, it can be a friendship that we have within our own family. For example, a married couple could have hopefully have that friendship existing between the spouses, or between a parent and a child, as, you know, as we get older, between siblings. Those are natural places for spiritual friendships to grow. but I wanted to show other places where we can find those friendships, whether it's somebody who we work with, somebody who's from our parish, and that those friendships can exist between two women, two men, and a little more difficult, a man and a woman who might not be in a marriage relationship, which, of course, as you can probably guess, sets up a few little more warning signs and danger zones that we have to be careful of, because our society is not used to men and women just having close friendships that don't go to a romantic or sexual level. So, but I wanted to show all those different relationships that we can have, and I tried to use the saints, because we can see in the lives of the saints these spiritual friendships that existed and that propelled them to go outward with their vocations, with their ministries and their missions. And that's really what spiritual friendship in the end should do. It's not a it's not something that kind of closes in on us and isolates the friends. It should be something that kind of pushes us outward and helps us embrace other people, encompass other people in that love and that friendship. So we can look to the saints, which I tried to do in each chapter, a different saint or holy man and woman who had a spiritual friend that we can look to as a model of what we can achieve in our own lives.
I think the examples you use are just wonderful. I mean, it just goes to that very important adage or gift that our Lord gave us, in that reminding, sending us out two by two, that we're not meant to be in isolation, to divide us out into. Now, there's a difference between going into solitude and prayer at certain moments in our life and having to, you know, to encounter Him directly, but really, we're not meant to be in isolation apart from others.
Right, and that's the thing. We need to remember that the journey is not supposed to be, as you're saying, we are supposed to spend time alone with God, but we're not supposed to be totally alone, that we need that connection to others, that community, and then those friends who journey with us. Like you said, Jesus sent His disciples out two by two. He knew they would need that companionship for the journey and for the inevitable struggles that would come up along the way. And so we can see that in the saints, whether it's Francis and Claire of Assisi, who I think probably rise to the top when people think of spiritual friends because they know of them and they were so they're at the top of the heap kind of when we think of the saints. Francis de Sales and Jane de Chantal, who to me are like the textbook example of what spiritual friendship is supposed to look like, because of the fact that they, like I said, they allowed that friendship to kind of inspire their work and take it outward. And they developed in a way that many spiritual friendships might, which is that Francis de Sales was Jane's spiritual mentor and director to start. They wrote many letters back and forth to each other. But then as a spiritual friendship grows, Jane quickly became almost a mentor back to him, the two of them sharing each other, so that each sharing their own spiritual strengths with each other, so that they could help each other along the way. Again, not being just all one-sided, one giving and one taking. But I also tried to show some more contemporary people, even up to Pope Benedict and his brother. Mm-hmm. The Pope has written about the importance of his brother, Father George Ratzinger, in his life, in terms of how his wisdom and his guidance have sort of helped him through his own spiritual journey. So there are people throughout the history of our faith, you know, going back to Jesus and all the way through, where we can see the influence of that close, almost that soulmate relationship in a spiritual sense, as opposed to that romantic sense that people think of when they hear soulmate, but true soulmates that really journey together toward God.
And, you know, I'm recalling just even in the writings of, say, Teresa of Avila, the fact that there can be a multiplicity of soul friends. It's not just one. It's not just limited. It's kind of reflective, again, of God's nature of love, that it doesn't divide. It only multiplies.
Right. And it's funny because someone at one point there, I read a review in my book, and the person said she seems to have an abundance of spiritual friends. And I thought about that and thought, like, oh, do I have too many spiritual friends? And I thought, well, you can't have too many spiritual friends. And some rise to a level where there's that more ongoing connection, just because of the fact that, you know, we're going to connect more deeply with some people. But you're right. It's not just this isolated one person. And we see that with the saints, too. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, Francis and Jane may have had like the epitome of spiritual friendship, and yet they each were writing letters to other people who were in their spiritual friendship circle. So it was not just the two of them sort of separate from the world. And it's the same thing with us. You know, one spiritual friendship may naturally lead us to other people. I can think of in my own parish a friend of mine who we sort of met at a parish picnic, quickly realized we had a connection, began doing some scripture stuff together, getting together with our children, and then eventually ended up leading a retreat team for women. And that developed into a whole group of women now who were on the team with us, who really are spiritual friends. I mean, we are connected to each other. We're asking each other for prayers. We know we can go to any one of those women from our team and with a spiritual struggle, a spiritual concern, or just, again, asking for prayers. And that group has kind of grown, which is the way it's supposed to be. Instead of just staying isolated between the two, it should sort of expand outward.
We're talking again with Mary de Torres-Paust on her book, Walking Together, Discovering the Catholic Tradition of Spiritual Friendship, which has in each chapter just those beautiful reflection questions that if one is journaling on a regular basis, which I highly encourage, you can take that or just even sit with a cup of coffee and just be able to take that into your heart and reflect on those moments once again so that we can recognize those gems that we have in our life, those spiritual friendships.
Yeah, I wanted the book to be an opportunity for people to reflect, whether they're doing it on their own or with their, you know, maybe their parish book club or even just a group of friends getting together who are doing, and that would be something that would be maybe a common thing in a spiritual friendship, is that you would read a book together and then talk about it. And I wanted to give people questions that they could reflect on so that maybe it would spark something and they'd think, you know, that person is somebody that I have that connection with, and how could I nurture that? Where could we go with that? Do I want to talk to them? Do we want to, you know, I talk about one man in the book who every week for the last 30 years has gotten together with, as it turns out, a Presbyterian minister. The man is Catholic, his friend is Presbyterian, but they get together every Thursday and have breakfast and have for the last 30 years. And that is part of their spiritual friendship. They talk and sort of encourage each other, even though they're from different faiths, which I thought was kind of an interesting idea of a spiritual friendship with somebody who is not your exact faith. And yet, Walt, the person's name, he talked about how this person has encouraged him in his own journey and sort of inspired him to go on a retreat at Gethsemane. And it was kind of an interesting thing. But again, that really constant communication. They get together on a regular basis and talk about this. And I wanted the questions sort of to inspire people to look at those places in their life where there may already be a spiritual friendship that they just haven't had taken the time to nurture yet.
And also to recall in our hearts and in our minds that there are really no endings, that friendships, especially spiritual friendships, even death can't separate us.
That's right. I have a chapter on that about the eternal aspect of friendship, and I think sometimes we probably don't think about it, and I probably didn't think about it all that much in a, you know, sit down and really think about it in a direct sort of way until I was working on this book, and I thought about my relationship with my mother, who was definitely, you know, one of my first spiritual friends, my first true spiritual friend, and that connection I still feel to her 22 years after her death, and another friend of mine, that feeling that we are never really separated from these people, that we are connected through prayer, we're connected again through that bond. Our bond of God is the bond that holds us together, and so that can't be broken even after death. And that's a comforting thing, and it's a beautiful thing to think of a friendship that we can start here. Francis de Sales talks about the beauty of a friendship we can start here and perfect in heaven. That idea that the friendships we start here will continue forever, again, is so in contrast to the way our society thinks about everything sort of being temporary. So that was a really beautiful aspect of this that I actually explored more when I was doing the writing.
And I don't mean to belabor the part about the struggles that happen within friendships, because, I mean, there also is the tremendous gift of the friendship, the nurturing, the caring that comes with that. But in those struggles, in especially today's world where it's more or less a cut and run type of mentality, sometimes even in psychology, where this person is hurting me, I need to disassociate with them, I need to separate myself, and we just, you know, close off. Spiritual friendship, again, in prayer, can help us to be able to carry crosses, not only for that person, but also in our own lives.
Yes, I mean, and you're right, you know, we have this mentality that if life is a little difficult, we'll just get out of that situation, not stay away from that person. And spiritual friendship kind of says, no, we're going to sort of wade through this together. We're going to pray about it. We're going to turn to God and let God be the thing that is the most important thing, you know, that third person in the relationship. And that, because of that, just like in a marriage where, you know, if God is the third person in the relationship, it sort of gives the couple an ability to sort of get through the more difficult parts of their life. Because again, just like in a marriage, there are going to be struggles. Same thing with spiritual friendship. There are going to be times where we maybe get on each other's nerves or disagree with each other, or where we're just going through a really difficult part of our own life, and that sort of spills over, as it often does, into other parts of our life. And the spiritual friendship, especially if it's grounded in prayer, and we can turn to that person and say, you know, let's pray together or pray for each other, with each other, it can sort of take that friendship and actually take it to a deeper level. So you get through that struggle, and now you're even more closely connected than you were beforehand. So, and I try to talk about ways that we can do that, you know, where we can, even when we can't be physically present with a spiritual friend, maybe we're separated by distance, the ability to pray with each other and pray for each other. I have a friend that, you know, during Lent, we decided during Holy Week that we were not going to talk or email each other, but at 1 o'clock every day we were going to pray for each other, and we were going to sort of join ourselves in prayer, and that would be our connection instead of a conversation. And that was a really powerful way to sort of be connected to each other and yet totally grounded. It was totally about our spiritual journey and the Holy Week journey, and it was a way to be connected without actually being present to each other in any other way. And that was a kind of powerful example of what spiritual friendship can be.
Beautiful. Mary, I just love the book. I really do. Walking Together, Discovering the Catholic Tradition of Spiritual Friendship. It is, a tremendous gift that we're given by the Father, these relationships, these friendships. And I just want to encourage people to pick up a copy of this and to be able to share it with those spiritual friends or with a group of friends or with anyone you may encounter, just because today's world really needs this relationship.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you liked the book, and I find it is resonating with people, and I think it's for precisely that reason, that we need that in our world today. And so it really strikes a chord with people when they hear the whole idea of spiritual friendship, even though it's not a new idea. It's sort of, it seems new to people, and I think they're hungry for it.
Any final thoughts?
No, just that I hope that people will explore these friendships in their own life, because it has been such a gift to me. And since I sat down and thought about this and really spent time with it, really just uncovered some of the spiritual friendships that I hadn't even been very aware of, but they were clearly present in my life and influenced my spiritual journey. And in fact, next Saturday, one of the people that I write about in the first chapter and one of the people the book is dedicated to, we haven't seen each other in years. And this book sort of inspired me to say, we're going to get together. We're not just going to talk on the phone. So I'm going to see her this weekend. And for me, that's going to be almost like a retreat experience, because that spiritual friendship with her, she's an older woman. We met when I was very young. She's very much a role model in terms of faith. And so I think that if we can open our eyes to what's out there, it really has the power to transform our lives and really bring us closer to God.
Oh, praise God. Just wonderful. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
We've been going inside the pages of Walking Together, Discovering the Catholic Tradition of Spiritual Friendship with Mary de Touris-Proust. Mary's book can be found at www.AveMariaPress.com, the website for Ave Maria Press. You also can find this book at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.